All right, now we're recording.
Okay. Yeah, we're recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Ahoy there. Ahoy. We are castaways. Don't delete it. Hello, this is Jenny.
And this is Philip.
And this is
Tokyo Adventures Podcast.
We are finally back.
Yay! For
part three of our Starting Your Life in Japan series. We've been gone for a little bit. I'm sure some of you have noticed. Actually, lots of you have noticed because you've been messaging us saying,
yeah.
Hey, where'd you guys go?
We got a new piece of equipment.
Well, we got a couple new pieces, yeah. Actually. We got a new, what would you call that? Like a soundboard?
Mixer, soundboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got some new headphones and a couple other things. So we've been out of commission, but we are back now. Our sound might be a bit different.
Hopefully it's better, but I had to set it all up manually this time instead of it being magical. So I hope it's not worse.
So if you're not a fan of the new sound, I guess just write in, let us know, and we'll try to keep adjusting it. But we're still trying to figure it out, but hopefully it sounds okay. We are going to do, like I said, part three of the Starting Your Life in Japan series.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to be about your actual trip to Japan, so moving to Japan.
Yes.
And this
everything
is
from A to Z.
Yeah, this moving is going to cover offer letter until arrival in Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let Phil start us off, but I want to go ahead and say from the beginning the generic disclaimer of this is our experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to share the things that we learned, tips and tricks, and how we did things. But of course, your experience might be different depending on many, many factors. So keep that in mind. Also, if you're wanting to take notes, I would do that now. This is going to be quite a long episode. There's a lot of information that we're trying to give you guys to help you prepare for your move over here. So get your phone ready, get your pen and paper, whatever you want to do.
Right.
But yeah, there's going to be lots for you guys.
Yeah, these are all the things that we wish we had before we moved, and kind of like a checklist, right? As you're proceeding through it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll help someone where you're mid-flight and trying to remember what you're supposed to be doing and you are panicking and you can use this as a reference. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's just like you don't, there's so many things you don't know until you get there.
Right.
So this is like giving you at least a little bit of a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take us off, Phil.
All right, first up, you get your job offer. This is the most exciting part.
Woo!
For us, this was that moment where it was life-changing. It was the fact that we're actually going to move. It wasn't just planning it or thinking it might happen. It was actually real.
Yep.
And this is obviously a really exciting time, and now you're thinking, oh, wow, I have to go figure out all the next steps.
Now,
what does this actually mean? Right.
Yeah.
So
it's intimidating.
We'll go through this kind of like a checklist style. There's a bunch of things we wrote down here.
Yeah.
So the first thing that you should do is make sure you have a valid passport.
Yeah.
Right? Your passport should last a long time.
It lasts 10 years.
Yeah. Make sure that it's not the last year of your passport because I'm not certain about this, but some countries, I think you have to fly back to go get it renewed.
Yeah.
So that would kind of suck. So just make sure that you have it renewed before you go.
Yeah. And you really should, before you even start this process, have your passport already like in progress if you don't already have it, because they're good for 10 years. So just go ahead.
Are all of them 10 years? I didn't say 10 years because I wasn't sure if they were all countries.
I'm almost certain. Well, all countries we don't know about. We're not from all countries, but from the U.S., they are 10 years.
Right.
So you have no excuse not to go ahead and just get that started so you don't have to worry about it later.
Yeah, yeah. It's peace of mind, right? All right, up next is setting up your flights. So you got to get your flights set up as soon as possible. And there's some reasons why we'll get into in a minute. But while you're looking for it, go ahead and compare your prices, check out different areas. Key things I would look at are your luggage options,
because
you're probably going to be carrying a lot of luggage with you.
Yep.
And second is pet options. If you're bringing over pets, which we can always talk about at another point.
Yeah.
It's really important because different planes, different carriers, different companies, they have different ways they handle and take care of your pets.
Well, like, they have different rules.
Right.
So sometimes you can carry your pet in the plane. Sometimes they're only in cargo.
Mm-hmm.
I think for at least the U.S., all pets must go in cargo for international flights.
Right. They have a special pet area.
Yeah. And we're going to do, I think, a whole bonus episode for moving the cats over to Japan. So we'll cover that in more depth then. But that is something to consider for the flights. You also want to look at, you know, what are people saying about how the pets were handled? You know, is care taken? And then also some flights only allow a certain number of pets on the plane. That got really weird. Certain types of pets. Yeah, you have to actually reserve ahead of time. Because if you just show up with your pets, they're like, well, we already have the quota of pets for this plane, so your pet can't go.
Yeah.
So it's really important. Yeah.
Yep. Just as a side note, all the international planes are pretty much nice, at least from the U.S. going to Japan. So don't worry too much about which airline. I would probably just save a little bit here and there. We liked Japan Airlines, JAL. Yeah. They were pretty nice to us. They also were great with the pets.
Yep. Had no problem. So yeah,
that's our personal recommendation. All right. Up next is figuring out your money. So you've been looking at your flights and you need to start budgeting and seeing how much money you have, right? You've gotten your offer letter. You know you're getting this amount of salary. And you need to plan out how much relocation allowance does your company provide? So
if they provide it.
Right. Will they actually help you with the moving over there of your stuff? Will they help you with your flight over there? Will they help you with housing costs? So you need to get all of that stuff figured out with what your company will provide.
Yep.
And then you need to provide original receipts, which this is a Japan thing, right?
Yeah. Just take this across the board with Japan. Always, always keep your receipts, original receipts.
Yeah, it actually has to be the physical receipt.
Honestly, I even recommend taking pictures of those receipts and keeping the original.
Yeah.
And honestly, the same goes with all paperwork in Japan ever. If you ever get any paperwork ever in Japan, just keep it. Because you really think you will never need this piece of paper. And then somewhere down the line, they're like, do you have that piece of paper? And you're like, no. Well, they're like, well, you can't do it.
Yeah, we have a nice paper collection now that we never had. You know, we used to digitize everything. We spent all our effort, and now we're just kind of backtracking to do that. But even if you work at a modern company, like a digital tech company, they still have to submit those receipts to the Japanese government as originals. So if you have moving costs, you have your stuff that you're going to submit to your company, you need to do original receipts.
Yeah, keep all them receipts.
All right, so next thing for your money is your moving budget, right? Which we'll talk a little bit more about that more in a second. Your new apartment costs, and for additional information like utilities and how much all the other things cost, check out our last episode, The Cost of Living.
Yeah, cost of living in Japan breaks that down to everything, basically, so you can prep your life.
Right. All right, up next, figure out where you'll be living until you get an apartment. So this is a fun little circumstance where you land in Japan and you're going to have a nice apartment for a while, but what do you do in between?
Yeah.
For us, it was really fortunate that my company provided a place that we could stay temporarily. It was for us.
Well, it was intended for us, but I was not there. Yeah.
Right. But I don't think that most places do that. So you have to think, what are you going to do when you first land? Some recommendations would be getting an Airbnb or an extended stay hotel or just a regular hotel or hostel, even share houses. I wouldn't recommend capsule hotels or Love hotels or anything like that. And the reason is that you have to register this place when you get there, and you have to register it when you're doing your visa. And you have to register it when you're getting your temporary, it's not temporary, but your residence card.
Yeah.
You have to submit your address, even if it's for one day. You land, you stay in a hotel one night, and you're going to have your apartment the next day. You still have to register it. It's crazy.
Basically, you have to have an address to put on your residence card.
Right.
So you can't just show up to Japan and be like, I'm going to figure it out when I get there. Hopefully, your company gives you some kind of options and helps you. They should, honestly, if they're a good company. But if not, you need to have an address that you can put down in your residence card, or I don't think they'll let you in.
No, actually. So they require it. Even in the airport, you can't get through immigration without having a place documented.
Yeah. So have a plan.
Yep. All right. Up next is figuring out your work visa. So I would get this started as soon as possible because it takes time, and usually this is the thing that most people are waiting on. Depends on obviously like when you're starting with your company, but I would expect a minimum of 1 to 3 months for getting your visa.
Yeah. And your company should provide you with all of the steps that you need to take to get that. So that's something that I don't know that varies from company to company. I have no idea, but your company will provide all of that for you.
So you typically need a certificate of eligibility, which this is kind of like a preliminary thing saying, yes, you're eligible to go to Japan, you're eligible for your visa, and that's usually first. Everything is like a tight timeline where when you have that COE, as they call it, you only have 3 months within that time to get your visa and to fly to Japan, which is crazy.
And that's like taking care of everything, like getting your house moved over, everything. So you really need to stay on top of your timelines.
Another thing that you might want to consider, I don't know if everyone cares, but I figured I'd remind them that you're going to have your pictures taken. So if you're getting that cool
Yeah.
haircut or something, just remember that you're going to be getting your picture on your visa, and then you're also going to be getting a picture later on when you get in Japan. So
Yeah, so
just think about it.
basically what he's saying is when you arrive in Japan, they're going to take a picture of you, and that picture is going to be on your residence card for as long as your visa is valid.
Right.
So if you
So
don't
if you're a
want to
pajama
look
flyer.
if you don't want to look terrible on your residence card for however many years,
Right.
just know that when you arrive there, try to look somewhat presentable.
Right.
Oh,
Oh no.
Momo
Momo's
has
looking at
awakened.
me. If I make eye contact with him, he'll start meowing at me and he'll come
He'll
after
come
me.
over you. Yeah, just don't make eye
I'll
contact. Keep
just
going. Keep
pretend like,
going.
yep, just keep going. All right. All right, enough about work visa. Let's talk about moving your stuff. So, let's see what we got here. Get multiple quotes from different moving companies.
This is a
Yes.
definite. Do not just
Yes.
pick one place.
And you can pit them against each other. You can say, I have another quote for this, and I have heard that they will be competitive.
Yeah.
I would recommend a company that has a office in Japan. This is Doesn't sound initially important, but the big part is when you ship your stuff, if you are shipping stuff here, you'll have someone to come pick it up wherever your original country is, let's say the US. But whenever it gets to Japan, there's this whole process of it gets unloaded from a shipping container, and then there's a company that has to drive that to your house, and then there's people that can help unload, and you can choose any of those options. If there is no office in Japan, typically that means you have to go pick it up from wherever the shipping container is and go deal with it all yourself,
Yeah,
which that
so
could be a lot of money and a lot of hassle.
yeah.
So I would honestly just recommend a place that has an office in both locations. It makes it
Yeah.
easier and Japan knows about it, so you don't have to deal with all the hassle.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be available in every state. We were lucky in Seattle that Yamato is the company we chose to move with. They are obviously big here in Japan, and we knew that. So we chose to go with them because the process was very smooth. They can communicate in Japanese, in English. They have, the location here and location there, and it's just really smooth. They got it down.
My company did offer some money towards doing a relocation, moving budget stipend thing, whatever you
Yeah.
call it. So I guess I'll give our experience. So we were quoted, this is for a 2-bedroom, decent amount of stuff. We brought over some unique pieces of furniture that can't be rebought here.
Yeah.
So it did have a few things like that. We
Yeah, we
had
had
bikes.
some large pieces, which I don't necessarily recommend to everyone, but we knew there were some things that were just kind of irreplaceable or would be like extremely expensive over here, so we chose to bring those, but we honestly, I don't recommend bringing large furniture if you can help it.
And we had a budget for it from my company, so
Yeah.
we were quoted and it was a lot more than I was expecting. We were
Yeah, it's pretty
thinking like
expensive.
2,000 maybe, and it ended up costing, well, the quote we got was $6,800 and ended up costing $8,200 for the
Yeah.
total move, which is
Yeah.
a lot. Now, granted, that's white glove service, as they call it, where they came and picked up all of our stuff, they boxed it,
Yeah, they
they
packed
shipped
everything
it.
for us.
And the best part, when I got there, because Jenny wasn't there yet, they
When you arrived
unloaded.
in Japan.
Yeah, when I arrived in Japan, they scheduled everything. They put like all of this stuff down on the floor, padding, They padded the walls.
Like a plastic sheeting almost, yeah. So that they pad everything. And they did the same thing when they picked up our stuff. Uh-huh. They padded the floor and the walls.
Like all of your walls.
And the entire walkway so that they didn't make any mess or dent anything.
Right, and you don't have to pay for boxes or anything like that. Some of them make you pay. They're just all included in it. And then they even set up everything. Like they set up my desk. They set up our brand new cat tree. We had a little cat mansion. They opened up the box and undid it all for me.
Yeah, and they undid it everything too.
Right.
When they were packing, they like unscrewed all the pieces of his like really fancy desk and our buffet table that we took with us. They took everything apart and it was awesome. So the white glove service, I really recommend.
Right.
Because they're going to also pack it really well because they know how it's going to be shipped.
Yep.
So I think honestly it probably helped things survive the move a little bit better.
Right.
So we didn't have anything broken, right?
No, actually everything was in
good shape. Yeah. Okay, cool.
They did a great
job. I wasn't here when it arrived, so I didn't actually see.
I was nervous for the international trip, especially with like a TV and such.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. We had another offer that was $6,700, so that was a little bit cheaper. Well, I guess not even much. The Yamato offer was $6,800, another one was $6,700, and then a third one was $3,600, which that didn't include any help, and I had to go pick it up from the shipping yard and all that kind of stuff
that was
like
kind
I was talking about.
Bare bones.
So if you're trying to save money, just to give you perspective, that's like half the price if you can't afford it. Now, obviously, this is like a big two-bedroom shipment, so if you're doing like a one-bedroom and you'd only have some boxes, you're probably getting closer down to like $1,000 to $2,000.
Yeah.
Just to give
just
like
a few grand.
A ballpark.
Yeah. But there's always going to be like a base price. It's not going to be like free ever.
Right.
So there's going to be like a base of probably at least $2,000.
Yeah. On that point, if you can, try to get rid of as much small stuff as possible. Like obviously get rid of your big furniture that you don't need. You can rebuy it in Japan.
Yeah.
But your small stuff, you probably have more than you're thinking, and I would recommend just getting rid of it, like starting a new life.
Yeah, get rid of as much as possible.
Your apartment's probably going to be a lot smaller in Japan, and you don't want to have it full of, you know, your stuff from where you're from. You want to get cool new Japan stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Well, all those gachapon.
Storage here, too, is kind of a hard thing to find. Like, you might have a little bit in your house, but typically you only got maybe one or two closets for storage, and even then they're not very big. So don't assume you're going to have a lot of storage unless you know ahead of time that you've got that, because otherwise you're going to be swimming in stuff.
Yes.
So get rid of as much as you can. Everything you need in your daily life, like as Americans, we found everything that we need here, other than like we have a small list of items that we do recommend to bring, but everything else, just leave it.
Right. All right. So next up is what to bring and what to buy beforehand. And then afterwards, we'll talk about what you don't need to bring.
Yeah.
So what should you bring? I'll just run through this list. We have deodorant. They
bring deodorant as much as
you can.
Don't
really have deodorant here. They have a few that we found in rare places, and they're always not as good, or they're weird.
Deodorant is kind of popping up here and there, and they do have them in the natural stores, but if you've tried natural deodorant, people who sweat anyway, they, like, don't work.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, to clarify, like, I have a good natural one from the U.S. that's great.
Yeah, Native. Native is great.
Yeah, Native has been awesome. But here, it's not even the same as natural deodorants in other countries.
Yeah.
It's just because they don't smell.
Yeah.
It's weird.
There's a whole thing. Like, they don't really smell here, so deodorant is not really needed most of the time.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely bring at least a year's worth with you, honestly.
All right, so deodorant. A mattress is an option, so we ended up bringing one because we had a specific mattress that we liked.
Yeah.
And you can get a whole bunch of mattresses here. Some of them are more expensive if you're looking for, like, Tempur-Pedic or those nicer ranges. So if you have something that you really need, I might recommend bringing it.
Yeah.
It could be worth it because you probably can't buy it if it's very specific.
Yeah. The thing, too, is, you like know how you can get really great deals in the U.S.? Like, oh, we're having a Labor Day sale or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can get these decent discounts. Here, it's not really a thing. They don't really have sales like that. So you're almost always going to be paying retail price.
Right.
So it's something like that. I would just bring it if you want something specific. Otherwise, you might be paying a lot more for it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this next recommendation is a bit odd. A TV. So
yeah,
if you're someone who has like a 40-inch TV or bigger, like you'd like a good TV, I would actually recommend buying it in your country before you move to Japan.
Yeah,
that's because they are crazy expensive.
They are very expensive.
To give you an example, we had a 65-inch TV. We paid like $1,500 for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a big investment. It was great. We got it in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The same one in Japan was like $3,500.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, that's $2,000 that we're saving buying in the U.S. And if you pay the shipping difference, which for us, I think it was $100 for a TV.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. Right. It's worth.
Yeah. And it's the same thing where you're going to pay full price here. They're never going to have these like huge discounts. Buying a TV here is like, it's dumb expensive.
It's mostly just electronics that are like that.
Like your monitor and stuff? Was that the same way?
Some of it's pricier here than it is in the U.S., so what I would recommend, this is a handy way to tell, is there's yodobashi.com and bigcamera.com. We can put it in the description, but these are the two major electronics stores in Japan, and you can go and look there and compare the cost of whatever you're planning on buying over there versus what you have, and then you can just check and see, should I buy it and move it, or should I buy it there? Up next is a good one that saved our butts sometimes. Having a American or wherever country you're from, I'll just start referring to the U.S. so I don't have to keep disclaiming that every time.
Yeah.
Having an American phone number for places that don't accept international numbers.
This is surprising amount of times it's come in handy.
Yeah. I'm really surprised.
Yeah. Definitely try to keep... I don't know if all countries can even do this,
mm-hmm.
but we kept a old U.S. number and we had it forwarded to your new phone, right?
We transferred it to Google Voice.
Oh, to Google Voice. Okay. Yeah.
So at the time, Google Voice was letting you transfer them for free. So we took our old Seattle number and we put it into Google Voice, and that would forward messages to my phone, and I would also get an email, and so I could do text verification. So a lot of two-factor accounts that I had tied to it, I was still able to get those text messages and unlock those accounts, and that came in handy with random things that...
So many times it saved our butts.
Yeah, just... different accounts we forgot about that we couldn't get into, or we had to call them and they're like, we have a U.S. number on file and you have to use that exact one. So
they don't accept international numbers. I've had that several times. Yes. So having that kind of like tie back to your country, if you can do it, is really helpful.
Right. Okay. We talked about electronics. International credit card. This has been really nice. So we have a card from the U.S. I would recommend having a card with no international purchase fees. So whenever you first get here, if you need to buy something, you don't have to pay all those extra fees, and you have a credit card, which is surprisingly hard to get in Japan.
Yeah, you're pretty much guaranteed for the first year you're not going to get a credit card. And sometimes even past then, it's hard to get a credit card as a foreigner. They're not really keen on giving them to foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Just assume that you're not going to be able to get one, at least for a little while.
Right, so, for like a year.
Yeah, having that international card that works internationally without like fees and yada yada, it can be really helpful unless you have a lot of savings to rely on. But
yeah.
the credit card, just random times it's been really helpful. We pay it off right away, but it just saves our butts when we're like, we're out. We don't have cash on us right then. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, we'll use the credit card this time. So yeah, it's really helpful.
So up next, what you don't need to bring, adapters. So I guess that's transformers, adapters. Wait, what am I thinking of? I have this backwards. No, I don't. I have it right. Never mind. Sorry, just ignore me. You don't need to bring adapters. So what that means is if you have something that supports the voltage in Japan... They sell adapters here. They're common. They're cheap. They're like $1 to $5. So they're easy to get. The thing you may need is if you need an actual transformer to convert your voltage, honestly, my recommendation is just try to get rid of it. Buy a version here.
Yeah.
Like if you have a room fan or something that's very specific.
Even like...
Just probably buy a new one.
Even like for like hair tools, I have a hair straightener or hair dryer. You don't want to bring a transformer for that. This like weird box thing to sit on your counter.
Because they're big and clunky.
They are big. They're a pain in the butt. Just give up.
They're like the from the 80s kind of style.
Buy it here so you don't have to worry about that.
Right. Just check your electronics voltage. An easy reference is Tokyo uses 100 volts, 50 hertz. And then Osaka, West Japan uses 100 volts, 60 hertz. So basically you can go and see what it uses on it. And honestly, most electronics are fine, like computers, laptops.
Our TV.
Keyboard, mouse, whatever.
Yeah, just make sure you check your things, because there's no point in bringing things and you can't use them.
It'll Almost everything that's USB is fine. Like, just check it and you should be good.
Gotcha. Okay, moving on from things you do and don't need to bring with you. I'm going to briefly touch on animals, because moving the pets over to Japan is a big process. But I want to dedicate a maybe mini bonus episode to bringing pets to Japan, because it's complicated and long. And we have had some requests to talk about what that experience was like.
Yes.
So that will be coming soon, so we can go into depth about that. This episode is just too long right now to talk about it, but it is coming. So be on the lookout for that. The one thing I will say is you need to get started on your process of bringing your pet to Japan. There's information online about it. It is like a 9-month long process. So at least look into that for now until that episode comes out.
Yep.
Okay. So you've prepared as much as you can. You're ready to go. The last thing you really need to do before you leave is celebrate. Celebrate and say goodbye to everyone. Because obviously you're really excited, you're going to a new country, yay.
Right.
But also you're leaving your old life behind. So you need to make that time to go see your friends and your family. You'll have like that 1 to 3 month time frame to do all of that. So make sure that you prioritize getting to see your people.
Right. That'll save you a whole trip instead of having to do a trip from Japan and planning it all out. It's really easy if you're right next to them just to go set up the time. Or even within the U.S.
You never know when you're going to get to see them again.
fair right now.
Honestly, with everything going on with COVID, we didn't expect to be here as long as we are. Mm-hmm. We thought we were going to get to go back and for like Thanksgiving this year, but it's just not going to happen. So make sure you say bye to your parents and siblings and friends, you know, get in those last visits and hugs, because it can be a little bit
like some people lonely. It's really tough.
Lonely in that first year.
Like, at least we have each other here, right? But a lot of people are moving by themselves, and that can be a little bit tough going to a new country.
Yeah, when you don't speak the language and you don't know what's going on, and everything is really tough. You know, those relationships, those last memories are really important when you're going through the tough times.
Right.
Okay, so you said your goodbyes. Some things that you need to do, also goodbyes.
it's in a way, yes.
You need to say goodbye to all of your accounts in the U.S. or your country.
Right.
So any like subscriptions that you have, all of your utilities, memberships, any credit cards or bank accounts that you no longer want to have.
Right.
Get all of that out of the way now. Make sure they're all closed. Make sure you have confirmations that they're closed, because once you're over here, it's going to be really difficult to get those accounts closed.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to make international calls and it gets really expensive and they can't confirm because you don't have a U.S. number. Just, it's a pain in the butt, but if you take care of it, you're not going to have to worry about it later.
Right.
So, yeah, say goodbye to all of that. another thing kind of along the lines of things you need to get done before you leave is renewals.
Yes.
So if you have things that are kind of expiring soon, maybe in the next year or two, if you can, go ahead and renew those. Driver's license are great because mine's about to go out, or maybe just went out with my birthday. I don't know. And that could be kind of annoying when I want to go back to the U.S. and I can't drive because my license is expired. Any credit cards that you're bringing with you, if those are expiring soon, you're then going to have to have your new credit card shipped to like a family member or friend, and then they have to mail you it. So if you can go ahead and get a renewed one that'll last you a few years, that'll save you some hassle down the road.
Actually, you brought up a good point. If you have a family member or a friend that would let you use their address, that's been really handy for two things. One is just sometimes places require you to have an address in your home country. I don't know why, but they do it. And then the second thing is, if you ever want to ship something like from Amazon US over, a lot of times those places will require a US address.
Yeah. And like, I have a bunch of skincare that I'm like dedicated to and I will not give up, and I don't want to look for other things. So I have a lot of my skincare shipped to your brother, my brother-in-law, and he is gracious enough to keep shipping us things.
He's been super helpful.
Yeah, he's been great. So thank you, Steve.
He's becoming the packing master of boxes. Like, how do I fit all these things into this tiny box?
Yeah, so before you leave, maybe you can have a conversation with someone that you trust and you think would be willing to be that person for you, because it's been invaluable and really helpful to us.
Right.
Another thing you might consider renewing, figuring out before you leave, if you're someone who has to have medications, you obviously want to get as much refill as you can to bring with you into the country.
Right.
I do believe that there is a limitation on the amount of medicine that you can bring.
For me, for example, like, I have asthma, and so I had to bring over some inhalers. I would just say, bring enough that you can last a little while until you find another doctor. Don't give yourself like a week. Give yourself, you know, like a month or two or something
and
like that.
Even entering Japan, not even related to the flights, entering into Japan, there are certain drugs and amounts of drugs that you cannot bring with you. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you confirm everything that you're bringing is legal to bring into the country.
Yeah, like Advil, I think.
You can't... Yeah, so Advil is not here, and it is literally gold.
It's so sad. It's like money.
Yeah, and so, you know, we had some shipped, and we had it shipped through USPS.
Yeah.
And we got one of the big, like, mega bottles, like 300, I don't know. It was a lot.
Right.
And it came through, and then I follow a YouTuber who was trying to also ship Advil to her home.
Right.
And it got flagged and taken from her because it was like over the amount that Japan lets ship.
Yeah, we didn't know that there was this restriction.
We had no idea that restriction even existed. Right. So she lost her Advil and had to pay for it to be thrown away or, you know, whatever, destroyed. That's what they called it. So, yeah, definitely make sure that the prescriptions that you're bringing in are legal and allowed.
Right.
Okay. It may not be relevant by the time you're hearing this.
This is like a relevant for this time period.
Yes, relevant for this COVID era. COVID, traveling in COVID, there is obviously tons of border restriction right now entering into Japan. Most countries are not allowed in. I know there's like ever-changing list of who can and who can't and under what circumstances. So assume everything can change at any time.
Right.
So we're not going to give you any specifics. You need to check with your airline and check with the Japanese government to see what the restrictions are if you're trying to come in during the pandemic time.
Right. The biggest thing in that I think is relevant for this is just planning, if you have to do a two-week quarantine, for example, how does this affect where you're planning to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have an Airbnb set up, is that going to affect that timeline?
Yeah.
Also, for your stuff, if you're moving it and it's planning to arrive, if it arrives while you're in quarantine, you may be in trouble and you have to figure something out.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind whenever you're doing all of your organization of your time.
Yeah, and you've got to watch the rules very closely, because as we've seen, these rules that Japan have, they change like from week to week even sometimes, so keep your eye on it if you are moving during this time. I don't think a lot of people are, but it's worth just throwing out there for right now, because obviously things are a little bit crazy.
It's a little gray right now.
Yep. Okay, so you are about to get on your flight.
This
come
is
to
it.
Japan. Oh my gosh. Some things that you should bring with you, make sure you have with you. Obviously, you need your passport. You need your certificate of eligibility and your visa papers.
Right.
If you don't have these, you cannot get into Japan.
A fun thing to notice is she said papers. So that's not just the actual COE and visa. You also need printouts of them too.
Multiple copies.
Multiple copies.
I would say at least 5 copies of everything.
Right.
Because you have to give copies to the people when you arrive in immigration.
Yeah.
And then you may need them for other things in the next few days once you arrive.
Right. Your company might need them. You might need them for your ward office. It's good to just have a couple of them on hand.
And I that goes across the board too. Once you're like coming over here, any official documents that you need from the government or for your job or whatever, make multiple copies. Just have them on hand, because I can't tell you how many times when we first got here, we had to go to the ward office and get an official document.
Right. It's so... pay like 50 cents or something. Yeah. And just,
the trip is more expensive than the trip, document.
Yeah, the actual train ride is more expensive.
So just get a couple copies of it.
Right.
Another thing is you need to have cash. Mm-hmm. Cash is still king here in Japan.
Yeah.
And you might not be able to use your card for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Quick note on that. If you are using a card internationally, make sure you call ahead and let them know that, I'm going to be traveling and living in Japan, so please do not turn off my card if you start seeing charges there.
Right. And also, your phone might not work here at all, so you might not actually have any internet or service available. And if your card's not working, then what do you do, right? So you need to have that cash just in case.
Yeah.
You need to buy food. You need to survive until you can go get that sorted out.
My recommendation personally would be to have a couple hundred cash mm-hmm. on you. And you're going to obviously want to transfer your country's currency over to the Japanese yen. And you're going to get a pretty crappy rate if you do it at the airport. Mm-hmm. So if you can, a few days before you leave, go ahead and get that cash in your country. Go to your bank and have them transfer it over to yen. Right. And that will make sure you're getting the best rate you can.
Yeah, you don't need your country's money. You need Japanese yen. That's the ideal. So yeah,
you can't use any other currency here. You gotta use Japanese yen.
Yes.
Okay, so you made it to your flight. You're on it.
Woohoo!
Everything is done. Now you're just waiting to arrive. Just relax, honestly.
Yeah, enjoy it. You're flying to your new life.
Yeah. Right? It's a lot. And then you're finally on the plane and you're like, well, crap, I'm going to be in Japan.
Yeah.
So try to relax. Think about when you're going to arrive in Japan mm-hmm. and maybe try while you're on the plane to adjust your sleep. I think adjusting your sleep to Japan time as quickly as possible is going to help you a lot, because that jet lag will kick you in the butt.
If you haven't, traveled or moved internationally, recommendation would be to stay up longer. I found that to be easier, because then you just get really tired, stay up, wait till the Japan time, and then just crash and burn at a normal Japan sleep time.
Yeah.
That seems to be the best.
Yeah. Okay, so the next part is going to be when you actually land in Japan.
Yes.
And Phil is going to take that over, because he was the person here to arrive. I was still back in Seattle, so I didn't go through this process.
Right. I had to do all of this solo, which was very tough and difficult, and I wish Jenny was here to help me out, but I had to figure it all out by myself in a foreign land.
You did good.
I think I did good. All right. So you've landed in Japan. You've officially hit that Japanese soil. Woot, woot. Your new life starts. First thing, whenever you're going through the airport, you're going to need to go through immigration. So a couple things on here is that they'll take a photo.
Yeah, we said
that. Like we talked about.
So try to get your hair right.
Yep. Get your hair right.
Put on some eye cream, some chapstick. Try to get it together.
Get rid of those under the eye bags and all that stuff. Yeah. So you're going to have a photo taken. They don't warn you ahead of time usually, so just be prepared. And then you're going to be getting your residence card from the airport. I thought I was going to be going to a ward office or something to get this, but they actually give it to you there in immigration. They print them out. So what this is saying you're officially going to be a resident of Japan.
Yep.
Eventually, you're going to need to go register that temporary address that we talked about. That'll be on that residence card saying you live here.
Your residence card is basically the same as your ID,
right?
Like in the States. Yes. So you should have it on you at all times.
Right.
Like, cherish that thing.
Yeah. It's the only one you get.
Yeah.
Just for a reference, it took me around 15 minutes to get through immigration, plus a bonus 30 minutes, woohoo, for detainment. Everyone's like, oh no, what'd you do, Phil? Well, I didn't do anything, I swear. What happened was, on my certificate of eligibility and visa, I checked it. It had my job title. It said, I work here at this company. This is my title. I have mm-hmm. a job. I'm real. I'm a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have a title to explain what my job was. Like, what does it mean?
A description.
And so apparently this just like halted their whole process. They're like, oh, we can't let you in yet until because we get a job description. Because you don't have a job description. Right. And so I had to like go sit in a room. I don't know what's going on because they're like, sir, please step into this room. And I had to wait until they called my company with the number that was on the file and went and got my job description, wrote it in by hand, like reprinted out everything. And they're like, all right, you're great. Welcome to Japan. And all my stress was for nothing. So... I made it through.
So make sure you have job description on your certificate of eligibility. Right. Because imagine you roll up to Japan immigration and it's like 2:30 in the morning. They can't call and verify with your company.
Right.
So you're going to be sitting in that containment for like however long.
Or they're going to give you some weird process and I don't know. It just makes things complicated.
Yeah. Check your paperwork and check it again and check it again.
Yes.
It'll save you.
All right, up next, so you've gone through immigration, you're going to go through customs. Remember those two forms they filled out on the plane? You need those. You're going to hand them both to the person. If I remember, I think they actually stamp it and they say, approved, looks good. And then you're going to take those forms to a shipping counter. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go through those doors, you finished up customs, and there's a counter for your company typically, or there's a generic one. Like for us, for Yamato, there was actually like a Yamato counter. And they should tell you where this is, like, if you're working at the shipping company.
That's another great thing about Yamato, because it probably had its own convenient. Little dedicated it counter. And the other moving companies are, like, generic. Everyone else.
Yes. And everyone knows Yamato here in Japan, so it's widely recognized. And they're like, oh, Yamato, gotcha, go there.
Yeah.
Up next, this is the most important thing. You walk through those wonderful doors and you're in Japan.
Yeah, you made it legally. You were not detained. You officially
lived in Japan for like 10 seconds after you've gone through that door. All right. So first thing you should be doing, go run over to an ATM. Go get your cash if you don't already have.
If you didn't bring any.
Yeah, if you didn't bring any.
Because we prepared you for it and you should have your Japanese yen.
Like, oh, I'll listen to the Tokyo Adventures podcast. That's right. They told me to get cash before.
That's right.
So yeah, you've got your money. Now what you need to do is go and head to the train or Shinkansen. And you need to figure out what time to get a ticket and when you're going to arrive wherever your destination is. Naturally, assuming if you're going to Tokyo, you're going to take the NEX, the Narita Express. And that's
if you're coming from Narita.
That's if you're coming from Narita, yeah. Haneda, which most people are.
Haneda we haven't done, so there might be a different process. But it's basically the same thing.
Right.
Get your ticket to train to get to where you need to go.
Yeah. And if you're going to Osaka or another city, I mean, it's the same thing. Personally, I think they're a little bit easier. Tokyo, I think, is a little bit more complex. So that's where, because it's so complex, I would just say go look for the NEX. There's a red line on the ground that actually guides you to where that is and where you can buy tickets.
Just super follow helpful. The line.
So go get your tickets, get everything set up. You actually have to go buy them from a ticket counter. I don't think you can buy them online.
I don't remember.
They have the prices and everything. I've found it to be kind of tough to figure out if you even can.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure someone could answer that, but I would just probably plan on buying them there.
Something I thought of too, and it's something to consider maybe when you're buying your ticket, is that NEX, I don't think, runs all night long.
It does not.
Okay. So you may not be able to take that NEX to Tokyo. So you might actually have to stay in the airport for the night.
Right. There's some hotels around and stuff.
Well, there's hotels around, but also there is a capsule hotel in the airport. It's called 9 Hours Capsule Hotel.
Yes.
It usually is booked out pretty far. So as soon as you know when you're arriving and you won't be able to take the NEX, go ahead and get on the website and book that capsule hotel to get you through the night. And then you can do the process of NEX in the morning.
Yes. So once you have your train ticket, you are basically free from here. Everything gets easier. It's all downhill. Just make sure you've got that ticket covered.
Yep.
So if you have time and you've gotten it, the next thing I would say is go get a Suica card.
Yeah, and you should be able to do that in the same area. Mm-hmm. And to me, getting that Suica card... What is a Suica card?
You want
to
tell them?
I think we mentioned, but a Suica card or a Passmo card is an IC card. Mm-hmm. And basically what this is a physical plastic card that you load money onto, and it's your transportation card.
Right.
You can also use it for like konbinis or a lot of restaurants.
It's super handy.
Accept it pretty much everywhere except your Suica or Passmo. Right. So it's kind of like key to getting around in your first few days in Japan. So To me, it's like a non-negotiable. Get your Suica when you buy your tickets.
It's surprising because even some places won't take a credit card, but they'll take a Suica.
Yep.
So
you got to have it.
Yeah, honestly, just a quick plug. Like, the two things that we use to buy things everywhere are Suica and PayPay.
Yeah.
So if you can get those two set up, you're golden.
Yeah, PayPay is going to be, it's going to take more time.
Yeah, so it was just more like a plug.
Don't worry about PayPay just yet. That's going to be like your points you can get. But your Suica or your Passmo is literally like your little cash card.
Yeah.
You can fill it max of $200. So I would go ahead and just throw, you know, at least $100 on there. That way you can get around and buy food and things you need.
Right. Speaking of food, something I would recommend is eating ASAP. Like, so you've gotten your ticket, you've got your train covered. Try to go eat something so that you're not panicking. I don't know how many hangry people there are out in the world, but it'd be awful if your first day in Japan, you're starving, you're raging, and it's just not a good experience. Instead, you should be like throwing out peace signs and being all happy and giddy that you're in Japan and this is your new home.
Yeah. So make sure you, once you've done everything, you've been a responsible adult. Oh my gosh. And you got everything sorted. Try to make sure you eat something because you're obviously going to be hungry. It's been a long, probably 24 hours.
Right.
Make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Also, good to remember is this is your first meal in Japan. So whatever you want to form those memories with.
Yeah.
If it's a sando from the konbini or a nice bowl of ramen. Yeah. That was my first meal.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, actually, I didn't take my advice. I was starving and I waited the entire day. And I'm like, no, I can't settle. I want ramen for my first meal.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, a lot of things were closing down. And I had to like
go. You had to get a mediocre one, right?
I got a really mediocre bowl of ramen, to be honest.
Yeah, just make sure you feed yourself. Yeah. You'll be in a better mood. Okay. After you've eaten, you've gotten to your new place, you basically need to go out and get a couple of things for your temporary place, assuming you're at your temporary place. Well, even if you're at your permanent place, you're going to need a few things to get you through the night in the next few days.
Right.
So I would say go ahead, drop your stuff off at your place, run to either a pharmacy.
Drugstore.
Kusuriya. Yes. Kusuriya. Or like a konbini, and you're going to need to get things like toilet paper, maybe some paper towels, water. My gosh, hydrate yourself.
Yeah, they do have paper towels. That was a question I had. Do they actually have paper towels?
Why would they not have paper towels?
For the longest time when I was here, I didn't actually see any. I had to go find them.
Like when we were here before?
Yeah, like before you came over. I was using those like...
Oh, you didn't see paper towels.
I didn't see them. I had those like heavy-duty napkins, is what I would call them.
Oh, okay.
Not like a roll of paper towels.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those things like now I know where they are everywhere, but in the beginning I didn't know they existed.
Yeah.
But they do exist.
Most of the like everyday essential things you can find at konbinis, but you're going to be able to find a lot more at like a drugstore.
Yes.
So I would say go ahead, get the things that you need to get through the next few days, grab some snacks. If you have any like medications that you need, maybe you got a headache, whatever
shampoo,
you need.
Yeah, body wash.
All the like toiletries.
Right.
That'll definitely help you. That way you don't have to worry about it over the next few days. And you're like, crap, I'm out of toilet paper already.
Yeah.
We mentioned before, go ahead and try to get your sleep on track with Japan time.
Yep.
Don't delay on that. The sooner you switch, the better you feel.
Right. Think about that first day of work. You want to
set
a good impression, right?
Because you went to work pretty fast after you got here. So you almost didn't have time to switch your
schedule.
I
flew in on Saturday and started on Monday or Tuesday.
Hmm.
So I had like one day.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. Oh no. Oh. Don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Oh no.
Don't
I looked. Look at him.
Okay.
Made eye contact.
Things to do in your first week. First and foremost, enjoy Japan. Eat, explore, get to know your neighborhood.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, you're here. So definitely go out, explore. Do everything you can, especially before you start work, because once you start work, everything's going to get really hectic.
Right.
So go out and do all of that. Make sure you find your grocery store. Your grocery store is your lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you know where that is and your local station, your train station.
Right.
I'm assuming you're going to use that to get to work or anywhere else you want to go. So yeah. Being familiar with your walk and all of your lines that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. and how they connect is going to be really helpful.
Right.
One major thing you're going to have to do is find your ward office.
Yes.
Because you got to go register your address ASAP. You have to do it like within a few days, yeah, right?
I don't know the time, but it's pretty quickly you need to go do this.
Yeah. In general, like, obviously, you have to go to the ward office. You should always know where your ward office is, where you are.
Yeah, it's good. They solve, like, all of your problems that you have in relation to immigration and yeah. people problems and yeah. residency.
Yeah, and you can go there, too, if you're, like, lost on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming ours does had English speakers to help translate and yes. walk through the steps of like questions that you have. So mm-hmm. if you're lost and don't know what to do, go to your ward office and they should be able to help you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, you something that they, got it. Something that's helpful there. So whenever you're going there, you're going to be getting your residence card. You're going to add that address that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But also, they'll ask you, do you want to set up your My Number card?
Did they ask you when you first got here? They did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you missed an opportunity.
Well, I was with there was a group that my company provided to, like, help get that stuff set up.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't worry, do it later. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll save it. And now I'm like, man, I kind of wish I did it just because it's annoying and you have to go out there to your ward office. I don't know if anyone else is lazy.
Oh, it's a long process.
It's just a long process. And you're already talking with someone, you're there, and they can literally give you the form and you can get it started.
Yeah, if you have the option to do the process for your My Number card, which is essentially your social security card here,
right.
Go ahead and just get it done.
Yeah,
because it's come in handy. Well, we didn't have it. Now that we have it, we don't have to worry about future situations where we need that card and right. we don't have it.
You're given a My Number, so that's your like actual social security, and they give you a paper version when you register.
Yeah.
But the My Number card is like a nice laminated hard card instead of having that flimsy piece of paper.
Yeah.
And it also works online, and you can scan it, and you know they're like building an ecosystem around the actual card.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned before there were for the stimulus check here in mm-hmm. Japan, they required the physical card.
You had to have the My Number card.
They would not accept the My Number piece of paper.
Right.
So just get your card, and you don't have to worry about it in the future.
Yep. So like we talked about before, make sure you have some copies of your proof of residence.
Yep, five or six.
This is where you get it.
Yeah. Keep them at all times.
You just burn through them surprisingly. Like I think your work needs one. What is it?
You might need them for like your new apartment.
Oh, your utilities and stuff like that. Or your phone and setting up your bank account. You need them for all those.
Yeah. So just keep a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay. So some other things you need to do in your first week is you want to check out some potential areas for your permanent house or apartment, assuming mm-hmm. that you're coming over and having some temporary housing.
Right.
Obviously, you're going to want to start with your real estate agent. I'm assuming that your job should say, hey, we recommend these companies.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and connect with them and start looking at different areas and apartments. That way you get an idea of what you want.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you have to have a realtor when you're going through that process.
Yeah, we talked about that in another episode.
Right, yeah.
A realtor is, like, you have to have it. You can't do anything else without it.
Yeah, like, in the U.S., a lot of times you could just go straight to the apartment complex, and there would be someone there to help you. But here, a lot of times, there's no front desk, or there's no person to help you out with that, so you have to go through them.
Yeah. Another thing, once you're going into work, you need to make sure that you get your proof of work and income on your first day of work. These are pieces of paper, again, have multiple copies of
mm-hmm.
that places may need, definitely for when you're getting a permanent apartment or home. They're going to need that. So
and you're going to need two for the next two things I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So again, copies, everything.
Yeah. Copies. Paper.
Okay, next thing, phone. I did not do that, so I'm going to let you talk about phones.
Oh, wow, phones. I feel like I have some life scarring there and some joys all bundled into a long story. So I'm going to skip that and just tell you the details so you don't have to do that. All right, so first thing I'll tell you is it'll take forever to set up your phone.
Hours.
Yes,
like
you're thinking
half
like...
half a day.
Okay, Philip, all right, I'll plan like 2 hours. No, like I spent... 9 hours getting my phone set up.
Yeah. And when I came here and set up my phone, mm-hmm. I was setting up a secondary phone. It was part of your plan, right?
It's a separate plan.
Oh, it is a separate plan. Yeah, because they don't do family plans for like
They're like, what? Here. Families? That's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We were there probably 5 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
5 or 6 hours.
And that's after, like, I knew the process. Yeah. We went to the same place.
Yeah. Yeah. So just assume if you're getting a phone, you're going to be there for, like, the entire day.
Yeah. Take a day off from work. If you're working and you haven't set it up yet, just take the day off. Okay. So something that I would recommend is don't just pick something out immediately. I know some people are thinking, well, I'll just go grab a temporary phone or a monthly contract. Japan typically only does 2-year contracts, so mm-hmm. whatever you're setting up quickly, you might be stuck with for 2 years.
Yeah, so don't just pick a random thing. Like, try to do your research.
Right.
We also did mention some companies that mm-hmm. we recommend in your cost of living in Japan episode.
It was the last episode.
The last episode, yeah. So if you want to hear more about, like, the brands that we recommend and what they offer and the cost of them, it's going to be in that episode for you.
Right. So, like we talked about, you're going to need your proof of work for your phone. The second one is your bank account. Setting up a bank account at ASAP is great. That's how your company pays you, so that's always good to have.
That's another thing that's going to take like an entire day mm-hmm. to take care of. So, you'll have to likely take off a day of work for that as well.
Yep.
So, any of these things that you can get done before you start work would be really helpful. So, getting your phone, your internet, your bank set up. Mm-hmm. That way, you don't have to take off work in your first like week.
That's actually a good time frame to think about. I thought it would take like a day or two to set that stuff up, but really, I was out for like the first week for just setting up everything from like my apartment to the bank accounts to setting up phone numbers, mm-hmm. looking for washer dryer, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that hopefully that helps. That's kind of a time frame of.
Yeah.
I would let your company know. Most of them are going to understand that if you're transferring from abroad, that's pretty typical.
Yeah. I don't think everyone also is going to be starting like next day like you.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can, you know, put like a week or two in between when you start.
That's a safe amount.
It'll be so valuable. You'll get sleep. You'll get mm-hmm. things done. And then you can enjoy yourself a little bit before you start work.
Right. We talked about different banks in the cost of living episode. You'll hear us reference it a few times, but we kind of broke down the different options and what we recommend in there.
Yeah, and definitely don't just pick any bank. We gave some excellent recommendations in there that'll save you a lot of hassle so you don't have to do transfers from one bank to another because you hate your bank later.
Yep.
So definitely go back, check out that section of the last podcast as well. That'll be really helpful.
Right. Up next, for the thing to do in your first week is find and establish a doctor. A lot of times it's kind of tough. So Japan doesn't have family doctors or primary doctors, care practitioners.
Yeah.
You kind of need to know a hospital, I guess. And especially for people with prescriptions, right? If you have to go set up something, like I had asthma, so I wanted to go see where can I get, you know, my prescription? How does this whole thing work?
Yeah.
It's better to do it early so that way you know that and you have a backup plan.
Yeah. And he was saying, like, they don't have primary care doctors. That means, like, you don't have to go to the same doctor every time. Mm-hmm. So if you try a place and you don't like it, just keep, you know, moving on.
Right.
You don't have to be dedicated. Because you have the international health insurance, you can go wherever you're comfortable with.
Right.
So if you don't like one, just move on. But mm-hmm. it's great if you do have prescriptions that you need to go ahead and establish that relationship and get your prescription.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to worry about in a month when you're like scrambling and you can't find someone to help you.
Right. Quick plug on that. It's called the Japanese National Health Insurance. Everyone who has a full-time job in Japan has this.
Yeah.
Some places might not give it, but honestly, it's not that big of a difference. Like, I went to a doctor before without insurance. If you're from the US, you freak out and you're thinking thousands of dollars. And instead of it being $8 for my doctor visit, it was $12. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people still gripe about the cost here, uh-huh. but
yeah.
if you're from the U.S., like, it's incredible.
This is wonderful.
How much we have saved. You know, definitely, I don't feel like the doctors are always as good, in my opinion.
Yeah, kind of on average, they're
I feel like they're great at preventative.
Yes.
But if you have something that you're trying to diagnose, they're not always the best at. But mm-hmm. for your regular, like, everyday health and stuff, mm-hmm. it's great, and it's really cheap.
Yep.
So, yeah. And make sure, too, you get your insurance card from your company.
Yes. Yeah, they should give you one, and they're going to ask for it every single time you go.
Every single time.
All right. Last up on the list for things you should do in your first week is buy a bike. A lot of places are really easy to access in Japan with a bike, and you can buy one super cheap. So you could buy a bike literally for $20 from a friend or $200 from the store, or you can buy a really fancy electric one. The electric bike movement here in Japan is crazy.
Yeah, like everyone has an electric bike.
Like the mom bikes.
Yeah, we've talked about mom bikes before. Those things are dangerous.
Yeah, you like get ran over by this mom carrying 12 children on her back on this bike, and they're just flying at like 50 miles per hour.
On the sidewalk, of course.
On the sidewalk.
They don't use their bell, so watch your back. another plug for Sayonara Sales on Facebook. Yes. I know not everyone has Facebook, but if you do have it, when you first get here and you're looking for things, and maybe you're just trying to save some money or get by, Sayonara Sales might have that bike that you need to get by.
Really handy.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. Go ahead and get connected to the group on there. A bike is excellent. We chose to bring our bikes with us because we didn't know if mm-hmm. they were going to have good selections here. Because honestly, we didn't know what we were going to get when we got here.
Yeah.
So we chose to bring our really nice bikes with us, which we definitely don't regret.
Mm-hmm.
But having a bike here has been great for like going to get groceries. It's awesome. And it's just fun.
We have the little bike bags that you can have. So when we go to the grocery store, we pop in our grocery. Ortlieb.
Ortlieb.
Ortlieb. Like
if that. You cycle, you know what Ortlieb
yeah.
is.
Yeah, Ortlieb. It's
a German brand.
Probably pronouncing it wrong.
Okay.
So.
That was a lot of information.
Yeah.
But I think you'll definitely feel more secure and relaxed knowing we have gone through this process and we have hit the road bumps and we have shared our experience and suggestions. And you'll feel, you know, like it's not going to be that bad.
Right.
But of course, if you still have questions or concerns or there's something, you know, we didn't cover that you want to know, always feel free to shoot us an email over at tokyoadventurespodcast@gmail.com. We, of course, have our website now, tokyoadventures.com. We'll have all of the information also for our Twitter and our Instagram in the show notes. And I think we'll also do like a little breakdown of the steps, like bigger step breakdown, mm-hmm. and we'll put that in the show notes for you guys as well.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, kind of give you a big overview.
Right.
Of course, if you have anything that you want us to cover or you're interested in.
Or ideas for a new episode.
Yeah, anything that you'd like us to cover, feel free to give us suggestions. We've received lots of emails and DMs.
We love it. It's great.
Saying, hey, let's talk about this, or I want to know about this. So we have lots of things that we already have set up that we know we want to talk about, but we are always open to more suggestions.
Yeah,
we love absolutely. To hear from you guys. And I do hope that we'll be able to share some people's questions actually in here, because mm-hmm. I know people like to hear. Like, yeah. you know, I sent in this question. I don't know. I think it's fun.
Right.
I loved it when it had happened to me. So. Anyway, that's it. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to email us anytime. And I think that's it for this episode.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.